This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes on the 60th anniversary of the end of the Korean War. Fred Machado served in that war in the U.S. Navy aboard the USS Montague. He serves now at the Veterans Memorial Museum, home of the Legion of Valor. That's in downtown Fresno, right across from the old water tower. Admission is always absolutely free.
So you said you've been volunteering at the museum now for about 4 years, and I'm sure you interact with a lot of other Korean War veterans there. And since this is the 60th anniversary of the end of the war, I'd want to focus on that some more. Not that you can speak for everybody, but if it's the forgotten war, what is it that you and all these other men who served during that time think the rest of us should know and remember?
First of all, I think that we need to teach our kids in school the history of our country. I mean, not just a civil war. Anymore, all we teach is about the Civil War. Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf, all these wars have taken place because in all these cases, there's been tremendous sacrifices made. There's been tremendous amounts of life lost. There's been limbs lost to people that had an effect the rest of their lives. Let us remember these things. Let us talk about it. Let people know what goes on. Let people know that this freedoms that we enjoy each day didn't come easy. There's people in public life that should be there. This is my personal opinion. I think before you run for public office, you should meet a payroll of your own, and you should have served in the military. And if you haven't, you got no business in running for politics.
That would certainly narrow the field a little bit.
I believe we'd get quality then.
I've talked about the museum, and how often do you volunteer down there?
I go there twice a week, Wednesdays and Fridays, and I enjoy it, and I wish we could get more publicity, get more people in there.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do here. So it's open 10 to 3, Monday through Saturday. It's free to go in. In all the time you spent there, twice a week for 4 years, I imagine you've probably learned a lot of stuff that you didn't know before, whether from exhibits or from some of the living history, those guys that are with you walking around wearing the yellow polo shirts and the nice-looking hats. What do you think people should know about that museum and what the value of it is?
Well, I think they should know what we're preserving in there and we're preserving the history. Some of the instruments of war, those are the things that people carried with them, people had with them, that people faced every day. And anybody that came in there to our museums today, they will find veterans of World War II who went through a living hell and fight from the Korean War and from Vietnam. You'll find guys from Vietnam that were wounded, Korean War people that were wounded. I know one particular dose there that lost an eye in Korea. I just think that people need to come in there to ask questions, and we'd be tickled to death to answer them. We'll show them around anything that we can.
Do you have, other than the picture of your ship that's there, do you have a favorite exhibit, display, room, spot, photo, anything in there that the first time you saw it, you said, you know what, that's really special, and you always try to point it out for people?
Well, yes, I think we got the Prisoners of War room in there. It's got the pictures of young men, and I mean, just men. I don't have any women in that one, but the one incarcerated during World War II. But that's something to see. Remember that these guys, the sacrifices that these guys went through. And then we got the Legion of Valor. You got pictures of men who went above and beyond the call of duty to do their job. And we have one particular room there that's dedicated to Gino Palesi, a Kerman fellow, who unfortunately was killed 1 month before the war ended, World War II, was killed in Germany, and he's buried in Luxembourg. These are all things that are very touchy to me. Uniforms there of men and women, the nurses, we got a picture, and the history of one particular flyer in Vietnam was shot down, was captured, escaped, was captured again, and mistreated. And the history is there. We got a wonderful movie that we can show 12 minutes, all about the beginning of World War II. And these are things that are very educational. We've got a display of Navy ships there, of all the types of ships that were in World War II. Very educational. I do invite everybody to come in there and see us.
And the library you have there is pretty impressive, too. You ever spend any time just browsing around that?
I've read many books out of that library. We've got a tremendous collection of books with history of about almost anybody. You want to read about our presidents, You want to read about the dictators that caused the problems, like Hitler and Mussolini. We've got books on that. It's just a terrific library that we got there. And a lot of the history of our own military leaders.
I think one of the things that can be fun for people to do, certainly the thing that catches their eye when they get to the museum and they walk into the foyer and they see these large, blown-up versions of prestigious medals. And then underneath them are the names of all the local people who have earned those medals. Do you ever walk around that, look at the names and say, man, I wonder what the story behind that name is?
I know a lot of those guys. I know a lot of the guys. We also have a room dedicated to Pearl Harbor, and it's got the names of Pearl Harbor survivors, of which I knew some here in Fresno who were no longer with us. Their names are there. And on a Purple Heart, a bunch of names there that I know. The Silver Star, there's a bunch of names there of local guys that's still around. It's unbelievable. We got a museum that's second to none.
And I get the sense you never get tired of going down there. What do you get out of it? What's in it for you?
I get the satisfaction of, I feel like I'm still contributing a little bit to the freedoms of the United States for the things that we did. And I just get a kick out of talking to people about it when they come and ask questions about the different things and what we did. And I'm no hero. I didn't do anything extraordinary. I just did my time, and I put my life on the line like everybody else. And I swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States, to defend it, and to defend the flag against all its enemies, foreign and domestic. And I mean just that. I think I took that oath for life. And if I saw anybody today mistreat the American flag, so help me God. I won't be like some of the senators that we have that say, well, they're just expressing their freedoms. I'll show them what freedom is like.
I believe you. You know, one other question I had with regard to the Navy, and you mentioned that you saved up all your money from the Navy, and that's how you got your agricultural business started. Was there anything that you learned in the Navy, some of the things the Navy did for you or taught you, that you look back over your long career as a businessman and dairyman and farmer and say, you know what? That helped me. I got that from the Navy.
Well, when we went in, we were kids. When we came out, we were men. So that right there made you grow up. I was kind of a screwball, I might say. I had no high school diploma, no high school education, and I had an opportunity to do it in the Navy. I could have done it. Got my high school diploma. I could have gotten even the equivalent of 2 years of college, and maybe I could have got a commission. But I was 19 years old. I had lived a pretty sheltered life, and I got in the Navy. I said, this is the time to have fun. And I had my share of fun. And sometimes I think that I should have better utilized my time, but I didn't do too bad. I never got in trouble. I never got in trouble, thank the Lord. But I did have a lot of fun.
Any stories there that you want to share with us, or would you rather keep those in Davy Jones' locker?
I think we better keep those buried. I enjoyed traveling in the Navy. We went to not only to Korea, but I went to Hong Kong, to the Philippines, to Vietnam, all over Japan. These are things that, you know, in those days, when you were a kid, Japan, that's a million miles away. How would you get there? Korea? Most people hadn't heard of Korea until the war broke out. I well remember the day that it broke out was a Sunday, June 25th. And I had gone, my family, we had all gone to Merced to see my aunt. And coming back, I heard on the radio that the war had broke out in Korea. I didn't have a clue where Korea was. That's something you never forget. And the day the armistice was signed, we were here in the United States. And we went back overseas shortly after, but we were here. See, in 1953, we left here on November 7th. But prior to that, we had gone to Hawaii in May and spent 30 days in Hawaii, a whole fleet of ships practicing landings, landing troops, and I believe was the 1st Army Division that we picked up at Fort Lewis, Washington, and we landed them in the island of Molokai. They were there for 3 or 4 days. Then we pick them up. Then we will land them in Kauai. Then we pick them up again. They go do their army maneuvers, and we go back to sea. Then we'll come back and pick them up in those boats. We went to the big island, Tehillu, for a couple of days of recreation because we hadn't had any recreation. This was work all the time. Then we got a call that the 3rd Marine Division had to go to the Far East. So they were in Camp Pendleton. And we loaded them in San Diego. They'd come down, and it took us probably a week to load all. I don't know how many ships. It must have been 50 ships. A Marine division is 25,000 men. And their equipment, we sailed out of San Diego Bay. I never forgot that day. one ship behind the other. It's like cars down the freeway until we get out to the open sea. Then you form the convoy. So you have the ships that carry the troops and the cargo. Then you had the escorts. You had carriers, cruisers, submarines, and destroyers that follow us to protect us in case there was an attack of the enemy. So these are pictures that I have in my mind that I was a young man and enjoyed that and was proud of what we were doing.
Well, when you look back on it all now, 60 years later, and there's no doubt in my mind, you're proud of being in the Navy. I can hear that. All our listeners can. And I know you're thankful for your family and everything else. What would you say, though, in reflecting that you are most proud of, that just gives you the best feeling after all these years?
Oh, I guess the fact that I live in this blessed country, that we've been able to do the things that you want to do. I chose my own way of life. That I married a wonderful woman. That we raised three wonderful children. Now we have six grandchildren. And the opportunities that they have, this just makes me proud as heck of everything we did, of our great country, and all that we have. And each day, believe you me, each day, I thank God. I never forgot. I thank God for all that we have, because only Him can give us these things.
Amen. And I guess I've got to ask you, since you've been married 57 years, you got any secrets you can share with the rest of us that want to be able to say that someday?
I'll tell you what, marriage is give and take. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I've never been mad at my wife to where I couldn't say goodnight. I have. So let's be truthful. But we all got faults, and we just overcome them, and that's all there is to it. I wouldn't trade my life or my family for nothing in this world. It's been great.
And you're 81 years old. Most people wouldn't think that looking at you or shaking your hand. But I guess I've got to ask you, how long are you going to keep working at the museum?
Oh, as long as I can. I like it. It's not something, if you have something to do that you have to do with your family or something, you can take off. But other than that, hell, I go. I got a son and a son-in-law that take care of our business. And I'm just here for the heck of it. I enjoy it. I get up at 5 o'clock every day. I go make coffee in the shop so the guys can have coffee when they come to work. We got some other employees. We got about five employees besides our own family. It's just a great life. I just absolutely love this farm life.
And I guess if you want to be the oldest guy working at the museum, you're going to have to keep going for quite a while, huh?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of them a lot older than I. That's right. That's right. Well, yeah, there's a lot of them a lot older than I. That's right. That's right. So, yeah, but we're doing good. You know, we got guys there that's 90 years old, 92 years old, in fact. So, and they're in good shape. Yeah. And they're guys that fought in the war that went through hell. A lot of them did.
I guess the other thing I have to ask you is your Statue of Liberty out front of your property here. How long have you had that, and what's the story behind it?
I probably had that for 20 years or more. I've been to the Statue of Liberty in New York, and I think it's a great sign, a great thing to see. And one day I was going down to McKinley Avenue, and I saw a Statue of Liberty there that was for sale. So I stopped. It was a place where they sell fountains, the art fountains and things like that. I said, yeah, it's for sale. So I bought it. And I brought it over here, and I had that stand built. And I've always flew the flag probably all my life because I'm proud of that flag.
Well, Fred, I just want to thank you for serving our country. Thank you for what you're doing at the museum and for telling us all about it. Is there anything else I haven't asked you about you think I ought to know?
Like I told you in the beginning, I know there's a lot of guys who did a lot more in Korea than I did on land. Those are the guys that went through living hell.
Well, and we remember them on this 60th anniversary of the end of the Korean War. We especially remember the more than 50,000 Americans who died in the Korean War. We're out of time today, but after listening to Fred and his unmistakable love for our country, I think you've got this down. I'll remind you anyway, freedom is not free.